My name is Erica Endemann, and you are listening to CHUO 89.1 FM. A federal election is looming this September, forcing Canadians to consider the most important issues at stake in the country. For some in Ottawa, casting their ballot is going to put ending homelessness and increasing affordable housing as their number one priority. A national campaign called Vote Housing is asking Canadians to vote with these core issues in mind. Katie Burkholder-Harris is the executive director for the Alliance to End Homelessness Ottawa, a coalition of people and organizations working to end homelessness in the city. Ottawa declared a housing emergency in January of 2020, about a month and a half before the pandemic occurred. Harris says that the loss of jobs and difficulty people had in paying rent contributed to the risk of people becoming homeless, making the situation that much worse.
That's happening. And then on the other end, we've seen a lot of folks become visibly homeless in the sense that they either were scared to go to shelters during the virus just because of congregate settings. So we had pretty minimal numbers in terms of who was sleeping outside the last number of years. And during the pandemic, I think at its height, it was around 225. So it's been a significant increase just in people not having spaces to go. I think that's been a big piece. But we've also seen people who just during the day, there's been less businesses open, there's been less drop-in centers open, or just have reduced capacity. And then I think you've got this evictions crisis on the other end of things.
The provincial government of Ontario passed a bill last August that allowed landlords to essentially fast-track an eviction if a tenant were to default in any way on a signed agreement. At the same time, the real estate market has exploded, with high prices hitting every level of housing, including the rental market.
So it's really pushing people sort of to the cliff of this evictions crisis. And I think the numbers we had were, I think, between 2% and 6% of renters in Ottawa had arrears. And so of that number, I think we had estimates it was like between 2,500 and 3,000 households who were at serious risk of eviction just from COVID arrears. That's a pretty startling number in terms of who could be coming homeless. So folks who need those really practical, maybe it's a rooming house, but like cheap, small, affordable, that part of the rental market is just not available more and more. So there's just fewer and fewer options for folks who are experiencing homelessness because they just can't find affordable housing.
This can't just be seen as a municipal issue, however, partly because Ottawa doesn't have a lot of capital resources, according to Harris.
Mass homelessness was created by a lack of affordable housing investment from the feds. You can literally see homelessness spike in the 90s when the feds got out of funding capital dollars for housing. And then what happened was downloading it to the provinces, the provinces downloaded it to the municipalities. So unfortunately, what's happened is municipalities have the greatest burden and the least resources and are being expected to respond to it.
She does think that some efforts can be made locally to encourage affordable housing, such as zoning. Instead of zoning only for single-family homes, which only addresses one income bracket, more of a focus on affordable housing can address more people.
So there are things in that regard that I think are more planning-focused, that if we're really thinking hard about how to actually focus on enabling more affordable housing, the city does actually have good tools to be able to do that. More of that's coming out with the city's official plan. We see some of those pieces, but I would say we need to sort of maximize the way that we design that as much as possible because we are in a crisis. And I think generally this crisis is something that's been coming for a long time, but now we're seeing the impact on so many people.
Even bylaws could make the difference, she says.
I think an area that needs to be brought into the lens a lot more is what are the bylaws? Are there ways we can prevent homelessness through rental replacement bylaws? You know, we hear a lot in this past year about landlords selling a unit because they can make more profit or it can be renovated and sold for higher profit. And that's leading to these evictions. And so a rental replacement bylaw has been done in a few other spots, but it would mean that the person who's evicted would actually have to have an equivalent unit for the same price elsewhere, and they would have choice in that as well.
The National Housing Strategy is one example of an effort being made at the federal level. $70 billion have been invested over the next decade to build affordable housing units, work that Harris says used to mostly be done by nonprofits. The goal is to build up to 160,000 affordable homes during this time period. Harris thinks this is a good step, but not quite enough.
So that's one of the biggest problems is, I think, not being ambitious enough about how much we just literally need to build. The other thing that I think is not often addressed, but that really needs to be dealt with, is the financialization of housing. So it's this whole idea of like a real estate investment trust where, you know, they have multiple residential apartment buildings and then rent becomes the thing that kind of fosters or feeds the deficit, but it's just capital gains and people getting more and more profit. And I think things like that are happening more and more. The feds can put in protections to stop that level of kind of lucrative financial profit from housing.
The federal government has acknowledged that housing is a human right in international treaties, and it has been introduced in some legislation, but Harris hasn't seen it in operation yet.
So if housing is truly a human right, then it actually creates a mechanism in legislation that says the onus is on the state to make sure that that kid who is about to become homeless tonight because they got kicked out, that there are resources to make sure that they go to a hotel room or go to an affordable apartment temporarily if they need to, and that there is resourcing and services for them.
One example she provides of how housing isn't accessible to everyone is the system itself. You need to pay taxes to receive rent subsidies, but someone living in and out of shelters for the past year hasn't been paying their taxes.
This is a common thing in Ontario and actually across Canada. Let's say for child welfare, on your 18th birthday, you get discharged into homelessness if you don't have housing already set up. And I don't know about you, but as an 18-year-old, trying to navigate landlords and finding rent and figuring out how to do that is a whole quagmire. And I could never have done that if I didn't have family support. So accessibility is like not just the building or the unit might exist, it's that ability to actually get to it. How do I book an appointment with a landlord? How do I get across town? You know, if I don't have a bus pass, if I don't have these very practical things like a cell phone, it's really difficult for housing to be accessible in that sense.
She explains that the idea of housing first is a simple one.
And the whole kind of principle of housing first is we do the housing first. We don't wait for these conditions. We don't expect people who are living in a shelter to do their taxes. We just get them into a unit and then start to build support around them.
When thinking about how to vote, Harris makes the point that housing plays a critical role in many other societal problems.
So when you think about displacement, displacement is almost always racialized. So I think a really important example is Harringate.
Over 500 people were evicted from their homes over the last 3 years in the Harringate neighborhood, located in the Alta Vista Ward. Almost all of them were people of color and many were immigrants. The evictions came after Timber Creek, an asset management firm, made the decision to demolish townhouses in Harringate Village, where many of these people lived.
I actually think ensuring that housing is affordable is the fastest way to reduce poverty. Because even if we add a basic income, great, important, even if we do that, it still doesn't guarantee that your housing remains at a cost that's feasible and it can still go up. And so to me, there's this huge kind of regulatory side on ensuring that housing prices are actually balanced with existing incomes that can do a lot to reduce poverty.
Harris believes eliminating homelessness will contribute to reducing encounters with many other levels of governance and society.
And then you look at all the side effects of, okay, if you have substance use, if you have trauma, if you have severe mental illness, it's really hard to deal with those things when you're sleeping outside every night or you're in a very busy, potentially loud shelter where other people are struggling with the same thing. Environment matters so much. And when people don't have a safe place to stay at night or they're victimized because they're on the street, of course they're going to have more run-ins with police. Of course they're going to have more run-ins with the hospital, with the jail system. If a kid is experiencing homelessness, they're not going to be able to concentrate in school. And then potentially they drop out of school. And then that leads to this, you know, trajectory of not being able to have the same, you know, experiences or access to moving forward and thriving that others would have.
What is perhaps most important to many voters, however, is something that Harris is also confident can be addressed through affordable housing.
And simultaneously, climate change is so linked to affordable housing. So in Ottawa, I think it's like 45% of our emissions are from buildings. So if we're thinking about building new housing, let's make them passive buildings, net zero buildings. It's critical to tackling the climate change crisis in Ottawa as well as the housing crisis.
When examining party platforms, Harris hopes voters will take the time to think critically about how affordability is defined.
Scale and definition of affordability is really critical, and I don't see clarity across the platforms yet of what are we saying when we say affordable housing? Are we saying that we're just going to subsidize developers so they can keep building lots and lots of homes, but those homes are for, you know, people who are making $100,000 plus a year? Or are we actually saying that somebody who's making $20,000 or minimum wage is going to be able to be safe and secure in their home?
To read more about the Vote Housing campaign, you can visit votehousing.ca.